Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you here on what is a absolutely glorious Sabbath day. It's absolutely gorgeous outside. One of the ways we as Christians respond to God's way is to demonstrate love to Him by serving other people and helping those in need. And Christ spoke that if we serve others in need and we give to them, that is as if we are serving Him directly. In Proverbs 31:20, I'm going to read a verse that speaks strongly about what it is that we're to do, and it has to do with your hands, and I'll read it to you. This virtuous woman described here, the servant of God, in verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. And there is a way. There is a way of God that extends the hand. There's a way of man that retracts it, but there is a way of God that extends the hand. And not just extend, but reach. Reach for those in need. And today I'd like to talk about that, about what we do and how we give. And we'll start by looking at an example in 2 Corinthians 8, if you'll turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. We have a situation here with the churches in Macedonia who gave a great gift and made a great sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with great urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God." What we have here is a tremendous outpouring by the churches in Macedonia to brethren in worse condition than them in Jerusalem. These people here were in deep poverty and under persecution. That was their trial of tribulation. They had deep poverty. These are people that had very, very little means. Yet in faith, they demonstrated something very, very beautiful and powerful in care and reacting to the needs of another congregation in this case. And they gave beyond their ability. And their ability, and if you think about those in deep poverty barely have the ability to even do what is necessary for their living. These are people that have maybe just barely enough for food, barely enough for shelter, barely enough for clothing, barely enough to be able to take care of one another. Yet in faith, they demonstrated this. Now later on in Paul, in verses 12 through 15, talked about giving and that God does not expect us to give more than we are able. Yet these people did that, and it was a beautiful demonstration. And if you think about it, it is a powerful demonstration also, not in just the act of them giving, but rather that anyone in any condition can, with God's help, because they sought God first, and that is what gave them the power to do it. They can give, even by having less of what we would call necessity, in order to give to someone else. It was a beautiful display. There's a way of God. There's a way that extends the hand. Even if it's difficult, even if you barely have any means, there is a way to extend the hand. Let's turn to Mark chapter 6, and we'll go over a familiar story that paints a very clear picture on a principle of giving. Mark chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 34. This is the story where Christ feeds the multitude, the 5,000. "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.'" So there was a need. It was late in the day. There was a need there. These people were hungry. And the disciples' inclination were to send them away and let them get that on their own. But he answered them and said to them, you give them something to eat. If you think about that, it would be a very intimidating thing to hear. You look out, there's over 5,000 of them. You know, how do you do that? It would be very intimidating. And then he said to him, shall we go? And then they said to him, meaning they said to Christ, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? And 200 denarii might have been everything in the treasury. It might have been sort of the wealth of all of them combined. Certainly was not enough even to feed this group completely. But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. And if you read the parallel account in John chapter 6, actually it was a young boy who had the fish and the loaves. A young boy. Maybe he was carrying it for them, or maybe that was the only place where they could procure some. But there were just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's all they had. Obviously, from a human perspective, to look out at the multitude and do what Christ asks seems almost ludicrous. I mean, how possibly could that do that? But there was an important lesson that was being taught there about the disciples doing their part, and then Christ doing the rest. And in giving, there's a really strong principle there where we, when we look out at the needs of people, we look out at the needs of the world, we may look out at the needs even of our congregation, our sister congregations in other countries, we could look just about anywhere and perceive correctly that what possibly can we give that'll actually make a significant dent in what's going on over there. And that's an approach that's human. But what God is teaching here is that, hold on, extend the hand, extend it, and he will leverage that. Extend your hand and let God do the rest, but extend the hand. In Isaiah chapter 58, let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 58, and we'll pick up in verse 7. We have a situation here where the children of Israel were fasting, but they weren't doing it for the right motivations. Theirs was a fast of strife and debate. Theirs was a fast of oppression, and they were wondering why it is that God was not hearing them. And God responded and told them why he was not hearing them. Because they were not humbling themselves. They were not breaking the yokes of oppression to those around them. They were not doing that to their own labors, and they were not doing that as an example to others. He says, but there is a fast that God has chosen to do something different. Let's pick up in verse 7. He says, is it not, and that is the fast, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And this word share is a word called parak, and it means to break and distribute. To break bread. So is it not to break your bread with the hungry? Is it not to do that? Is that not the purpose of the fast? And to bring your house to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and you hide not yourself from your own flesh? There are 4 critical things that were mentioned here about what the fast is to do. Most importantly, to turn the hearts of people to others. But it was about food, it was about shelter, it was about clothing, and it was about care. The 4 basic needs that everyone has. And without those, people are indeed oppressed. And the fast was designed to turn the hearts of the Israelites to that need. It was one of the purposes, to break the bonds, to see the oppression, and to break it. Even if they had small means, they had to do their part. God also promises, as he does always, that for those that do follow these examples and actually extend their hand or do whatever his will he asks of us, that there is great promise for it. Let's go ahead and continue in verse 8. It says, if you do these things, if you were there to set the oppression free, if that is your example, if you're extending your hand, if that's what you do, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. What great promise that we don't have to worry about going forward, that he's there. He'll be our rear guard. He'll cover our flanks, our back. We are covered. There's times, brethren, when handing out or giving can seem like a small thing. It could seem like an inconsequential act relative to the need. And sometimes it is the human tendency to pull back, to retract. But God says, no, no, no. Extend the hand. Do extend the hand. Extend the hand and he will accomplish the rest. Extend your hand when you see the need. Give. Not more than you're able. He doesn't command that. But when you see the need, do what you can. Do your part. He will do the rest. And even though it may seem small, even though it may seem inconsequential to us, it can be like the example Christ taught and showed us in Mark 6, that with 5 loaves and 2 fish, with his leverage and with his power, a small amount can be leveraged large.